Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart, to touch our hearts. So today we're continuing a journey we began just a couple of weeks ago, a four-part series looking at this particular portrait of God, how He is our empowering rest. Yes, we live in hectic times. I mean, our do lists are way too long and the days seem way too short. We run ourselves ragged with so many responsibilities and things we're trying to get done. And well, anyway, we need our rest, don't we? But the thing is, the Lord is our empowering rest. And so we're going to look at that as we continue our journey today. 10 expressions of this, 10 takeaways of this. We've covered the first four. We'll get to about three of them, I hope, today as we continue our journey through the Lord's love letters to us. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going to Matthew chapter 11, which is our overarching theme verse that I've been waiting to this point to really drill deep into that particular one, and we'll do that today. So as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that these radio messages, which are 27 minutes long, are all archived on my website at markpg.org. On the landing page, just click the gray box that says Broadcasts. The next landing page, just click the box that says Portraits of God, and you're right there. It just takes two clicks. And by the way, that first page also has a box that has you can click on for articles, another one for print guides on various topics of Scripture, another for three-minute videos on the portraits of God, all kinds of helps there designed to do one thing, to help you hear God. So I hope you'll check it out. That's at markpg.org. Now, as we get ready to dive in today's journey through the Scriptures to see how the Lord is our empowering rest, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm so grateful that we get to come together to sit at Your feet. Lord, I'm just so honored to be able to do the best I can to try to unpack the truths of Scriptures that You have for us. And in this journey of late, about how You do want to give us a deeper kind of rest than we can possibly imagine in this exhausting world of ours. So thank You for the privilege of sitting at Your feet. We look forward to hearing Your heart. And Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, just by way of about a 90-second overview of where we've been to set the table for where we're going, we're talking about how the Lord, our empowering rest, is always there for us to refresh, restore, and yes, strengthen our souls. It's an empowering thing when we rest in Him. And so the first four that we've looked at is how the Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to, number one, rest in His Son's salvation. Scripture says in Hebrews 4, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, united by faith, for we who have believed enter that rest," the rest that comes from the Son's salvation. Number two was that He yearns for us to rest in the way that He rested. Genesis 2 puts it this way, "By the seventh day, God completed His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from His work, which He had done." And of course, He wants us to follow suit. He gave us the opportunity to do that, especially every Sabbath, which is number three. We're to rest. He yearns for us to rest in the gift of the Sabbath. His gift of the Sabbath. Exodus 20 puts it this way, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day, and therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And so we saw how the Lord intends for that to be kind of like snow days to us. when we have a snow day, we not able to go to work. Everybody stays home and just enjoys the family, each other, the Lord. The gift of a day where all responsibilities can be just laid aside for a while. Well, that's what he intended for the Sabbath day. So we look at that at length. Last time we talked about how the Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to, number four, rest in seclusion with him. Mark 6 puts it this way, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going. And we talked about the difference between isolation versus solitude. Isolation is when we kind of run from responsibilities, from pressure, from the jagged edges of life, even from the Lord, and just kind of, you know, isolate ourselves. And well, that's different than solitude. Solitude is when you go away to be with the Lord. Isolation is when you go away to kind of be away from the Lord. So we talked a lot about how the Lord wants us to come to the quiet. We talked about Psalm 23, about how he makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters, how to be still to know that he is God, how the upper room was a season for them to just press into God and please only him, plant seeds, pressure no one. We're to rest in seclusion with him from time to time, to be empowered and not run ragged. Well, now we come to number five, for those of you that are taking notes here. And number five is how the Lord yearns for us to rest in his son's gentle yoke. Oh, I love this one. Rest in his son's gentle yoke. Let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 11. This is the overarching passage I began the series with, but now I want to drill a little more deeply into it to unpack it for us. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. By the way, I got to stop there. I can relate to that, can't you? Aren't there times you're feeling weary and really, really heavy laden? Well, that's us. And here's what he says about that. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Oh, a lot of things here. So let's see if I can do my best to try to help unpack it for us. First of all, there was a quote that I picked up. It may have been Chuck Swindoll many years ago. I used to, as a young college student, listen to Chuck Swindoll all the time and stuff, and read his books and all. But one, I'm pretty sure it was him, who said, you know, human beings are the only ones, the only species on the planet that when we get lost, we run faster. Isn't that graphic? It's like we get so stressed out. We start frenetically trying to fix it or correct it or whatever, and we just run faster and we get more lost. We get weary. We get heavy laden. Why? Because we're trying to white knuckle our way through the situation or the problem. Do you ever do that, or am I the only one? I mean, something comes up and you go, oh, man, it kind of hits you in the gut a little bit, or it triggers you in some way. Okay, I really got to deal with this, or we got to fix it. Okay, now what are we going to do? And then you start, I mean, just your mind starts going a million miles an hour trying to figure out what to do. And then maybe you settle on something. You say, okay, we're going to press on this. We're going to white knuckle it. Just hang on. We're going to make it through. Just, man, that's exhausting. And what it does is it brings us to our wits' end, doesn't it? You ever be at your wit's end? Like a bumper sticker says, I've got one nerve left and you're on it. Man, I can relate to this. That's why I love this passage so much. And here's what comes to mind just by way of illustrating the different degrees of depth and depth of rest we can get. First of all, when we have been running faster, when we have been white knuckling the situation, when we come to our wit's end, however, is when, well, like a marathon runner, once you've been running and running and running, You come to the finish line, you cross. What do you want to do? You just collapse. Runners tend to collapse on the infield after a long, vigorous run, just trying to catch your breath. Well, my friends, in this life, the place that we collapse is at the feet of Jesus. He says, look, I see you're weary, I see you're heavy laden. Come and just collapse at my feet and I will give you rest. But then I'm intrigued on how he does it. He says it this way. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So what happens when we fall at the feet of Jesus, collapsing from exhaustion, being so weary, so heavy laden? What happens is, well, here's my yoke. Well, what is the yoke? It's gentleness and humility. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart. When we take on the yoke of gentleness, of humility, which Jesus described as his default position, his yoke. It used to be that when I read this passage, I would think of a big wooden, heavy yoke for oxen. And you've seen pictures of that, these massive oxen, and two of them usually paired up, and there's this yoke on them, and it's a big, heavy, wooden yoke. Ugh. And there was a season when I would teach and preach this passage, and I would say, you know, life can be a heavy, have a heavy load of responsibility, but Jesus is the one who carries the yoke of all those burdens and that type of thing. Well, I think that was well intended, but not quite what this is saying here. It's a good principle there. I mean, it's like as long as you're right next to Jesus, he's, as the bigger ox, is going to carry the bigger load. Well, I think that's true. He carries the bigger load. He carries it all. We're just next into it. And if, to the degree we stick to his side, he's carrying the weight. But when we start drifting away from him and kind of take the yoke of all of those heavy responsibilities of life with us, we get crushed. Well, okay, that's one way you can treat it, but I'm going another direction with this by seeing how he says, my yoke, take my yoke. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Instead of a big wooden oxen yoke, think maybe of a muffler, like for on a winter's day, or a scarf. You know, it's around your neck. Like a yoke is around your neck, but it's soft, it's gentle, it's lightweight. And picture on one side, there's the word gentle. And then the other side, there's the word humble. And that's our yoke. My friend, I'm learning that to the degree I abide in the Lord, I will take on more and more of his heart, his characteristics, his character. And he's describing his own heart as being gentle and humble. The more I abide in the Lord, the more that yoke of humility and gentleness rests on me, which allows me to rest in turn. When you have a gentle reflex, a humble reflex of whatever happens in your life, that is so restful. So it just so happened that earlier this morning, I got a call from my assistant who has an app on her phone that lets her know when doors are opened or somebody comes into the building at any hour of the day or night. And she called me this morning and said, hey, I didn't notice this last night, but at 10:30 last night, the app says that a door was opened and somebody came into the door, and all. So I said, oh, well, okay. I'll find out when we get into the office, you know. And so, but here's the thing. It was early in the morning. She was concerned. She rightfully called me early. And she asked me if I'm going to go in right away and go early. I said, you know what? I'm just going to rest in this. I'll be in a couple of hours anyway. And it is what it is. And whatever has happened, if it's a ransacked things with offices with things stolen, so be it. We'll rest in the Lord to walk through that. if it's some kind of a electronic glitch in the surveillance system or in the software or a door that wasn't closed properly and sending you that signal and stuff. We'll find out in a couple of hours. How was I able to do that? Well, it wasn't me. I just happened to be in the middle of my prayer time with the Lord when she called. And it's like, Lord, what do we do here? And his gentle and humble answer came, just continue with me. We'll be there and we'll deal with it when we get there. I did not fabricate a conclusion or a possibility. Now, did my mind race about the different possibilities? Yeah, but then I took captive of that thought. Said, you know what? I'm not going to go there. There's no sense to obsess over it, to white knuckle my own mind about the possibilities. Let's wait till we get there. And to make a long story short, when I got here, it was a door that was just improperly shut, and so it was sending this signal, a false signal. The officers were fine. But here's the point. The more that we cultivate a heart, a yoke of taking on his yoke that's gentle and humble, that lets him take the lead in everything, hears his whispers that say, I got this, I got you, don't worry about it. We'll deal with it in his time, whatever it is. You will have rest in your souls. Rest in his son's gentle yoke. Now we come to number 6. And that's that the Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to rest in his bountiful love. Rest in his bountiful love. Let me take you to Psalm 116, verses 6 through 7. Psalm 116, verses 6 through 7. The Lord preserves the simple. By the way, that's kind of a nod back to the Matthew passage about being gentle and humble in heart. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Oh, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you, with your heart. I love this. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. There's nothing more bountiful than the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. Now, see, we get sucked into the a kind of a works theology. Galatians talked about that. Oh, you know, oh, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? You know, what you began in the spirit, you're now trying to finish in the flesh or by works or something like that. No. Hello. Let me ask you a question. Do you try to earn the love of the Lord? Do you feel like I've got to keep his commandments? The more I commit his commandments, the more he'll love me. The more I have quiet times, the more he'll love me. Do you know that the Lord loves you bountifully even when you're messing up, especially when you're messing up, because you need him all the more? My friends, this is the unconditional love of the Lord. It is the unlimited love of the Lord. You don't have to earn it. When you come to Christ, you become his. So many metaphors throughout the scripture tell us that we are his he's the bride, and we are the bridegroom that he loves and cherishes. He is the father. We are the sons or daughters. We are born again into his family. We're adopted as sons and fathers. We're called friends of God. You know what I mean? All kinds of ways the Lord says that he loves us unconditionally. You don't have to earn it. You're no longer in the courtroom being judged by your actions and your heart. That was settled on the cross by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, my friend, don't live in the courtroom. The verdicts come in. You were made righteous in Christ. Now you're working out that salvation. You're discovering who you are in Christ. You're walking in the fact that you are a new creation in Christ, 100% loved 100% of the time. But we don't feel that, do we? We've gotten so indoctrinated into the idea that we have to earn the love of our parents and from other people and from brothers and sisters. We've got to perform and to get it, that we just run ourselves ragged trying to get it, and we're never satisfied. He loves you. Even when I mess up, especially when you mess up. let me see if I can illustrate this. So there was a little boy, little girl, and they wanted to bless their parents, you know, and make pancakes for them on a Saturday morning. But, you know, one was 7 years old, one was eight, but they'd watch mom and dad do that from time to time. So they got up early and they started pulling together all the things that they could remember that to do to make pancakes and all. And they, and of course, you know what happened. They ended up making a mess. And then when the cats jumped up on what they were doing and the metal bowl they were using to mix stuff went off on the floor and splattered everywhere, and the boy and the girl slipped and fell on the floor and started crying. The parents rushed in. What did they see? They saw their little boy, their little girl, and all his pancake batter and a cat that was splattered with it and the kitchen splattered with it and the kids crying. A royal mess. Now, did that make him, the parents hate their children? No. They loved their children. Oh, they were trying to make us breakfast together. They just bit off more than they could chew. But you know what? We love the heart. They're trying. But they're going to mess up. And that's us. And that's the Lord. I hope you cultivate a mindset and a heart that realizes that you can rest in His bountiful love. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. On a scale to 10, 1 to 10, it's always a 10, my friend. You don't have to earn it. It is a grace gift from above, and it is faithful and true and continual. Heck, He died. I mean, as the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He loved us enough to die for us. While we were yet sinners, well, even when we're sinning and mistake prone and foolish as believers, He still loves us all the more. He loves you. Rest in His bountiful love. Well, as we continue our journey, one more today. Number 7, today we've talked about how we're to rest in His Son's gentle yoke. Number 6, we're to rest in His bountiful love. And number 7, we're to rest with His Son in your spirit. The Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for you to rest with His Son in your spirit. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother. Then it goes on, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. My friend, our triumph in Christ comes when we have rest in our spirit. Now, here's the thing. If you're anything like me and a lot of people, we tend to want to be Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It. Something happens and we can pride ourselves, you know what? We know how to fix this. We know the principles. We know the Bible verses. We know the next steps. You know, let's just do it. Let's just fix it. Let's just, you know, press on and we can do this. You know, we like to feel like we can do that. And yet life doesn't really work that way. There are no quick fixes in this life. In fact, what we end up doing actually through the back door is we're managing sin. Things are coming up and we're reacting, we're getting triggered. We may have done things. Well, how do we manage this sin? How do we manage this addiction? How do we manage this reaction? And I'm telling you, there's no way to manage sin. There's no quick fixes to that. We're to rest in His Son's with His Son in our spirits. Our spirits are the point of closest connection with the Lord. And to the degree you see that the Lord loves you and continually loves you, and that the Lord is always by your side, always by your side, you will have rest in your spirit when you stop trying to manage sin. When you stop trying to be the fixed person and let the Holy Spirit do all of that and do the deep cleansing within, you will find rest in your spirit. God is not a scowling dad who's just looking at you because you're messing up yet again. And then He threatens us, maybe to disown us. That is not the Lord God at all. And here's the fascinating thing about all this too. It is possible to rest with His Son in your spirit, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. All of the Bible truths and promises are written in the context of a harsh Roman occupation in the New Testament era. And when Jesus came, he didn't come to do away with the Romans and replace them with another earthly form of government. He said, no, I'm not here for that. I'm here to give you rest for your spirit in the midst of the harsh occupation of the Roman Empire. I'm taking you to another place, another dimension. The kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and in this case, rest in my spirit. You're a citizen of heaven now. You're temporarily here on this earth. Yes, there will be tribulation, but you're not bound by that and you're not controlled by that if you will abide in me, receive my rest. Trust me that I've got this and I've got you, and take on my yoke, being gentle and humble as you trust me in all these things. That's the secret, my friends. We do this kind of thing. We are then resting in his son's gentle yoke. We are resting in his bountiful love. We are resting with his son in our spirits here in a harsh world going out of control right now, but in the midst of it, like Jesus in a boat that was rocking from the storm at sea, we can be at rest. Amazing. He is our empowering rest. Well, Lord, thank you for this time together. We love this journey, sitting at your feet, gazing in your eyes, and listening to you speak to us heart to heart about how we can come when we're weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall deeper in love with the Lord, your empowering rest.